Can I set a boundary around my spouse's lying?
Welcome to the Therapy Brothers podcast.
I'm Brandon.
I'm Tyler.
We're brothers.
We're therapists.
And we know recovery.
Bring your stories, your questions, your successes with real recovery.
Hey, Tyler, you ready to have some hard conversations?
Let's do it.
Let the Therapy Brothers podcast begin.
Brandon, good to see you this morning.
Good to see you too. It's just amazing to see you on Monday mornings.
I know, it's a good way to start the week.
Yeah, great way to start the week.
Gonna hang with my brother to start my work week.
Yeah, and talk about fun topics. When we were little, did you ever imagine that when we're like in our 40s, we'd be sitting around talking about what we talk about?
Never. Like I was going to be a pilot or a doctor or something like that.
I was going to be a veterinarian. And of course, like in the NBA and all that stuff too. But
yeah, of course.
But instead, here we are.
I know. It's crazy the way life takes you certain directions, isn't it?
It's nuts. But I'm glad to be on this journey with you.
Me too.
I'm happy I'm not alone in this.
It's a good place to be.
Yeah, it's great. So, I love what we do. Love my job. Yeah. Love working with people. So
me too. Yeah. Well, before we get into our topic today, just a real quick review that we got over here on Apple Podcasts. It's a shout out to one of our other callers. It's from Grateful Brother, and it says episode 315 with guest Patrick was awesome. This episode really helped remind me to be kind to myself, both myself now and to my younger self. My own path of recovery has been very rocky path, where I've often felt terrible about myself and very alone and stuck. Fear and shame have been a ball and chain way too often. Thank you, Patrick, for sharing your story and your progress. Thank you, Patrick Brothers, for your insights. I came away feeling a greater love and empathy for myself, and that is a huge key to my hope for personal recovery.
Awesome. It's awesome when a guest really helps a listener. So love to hear about that.
Yeah, it's great.
Well, Tyler, speaking of guests or speaking of them helping each other, we have a question today that was submitted that I believe can actually be helpful for a lot of people. And it's a question that I think we're familiar with because we hear it a lot. And so we'll dig into this. We'll break it down. I do want to thank Elizabeth for submitting this question. And it says, can you set a boundary for lying? My spouse lies about his porn use. I know I cannot force him to tell me the truth. I also really don't like my reality being manipulated. It's happened twice now where he has lied to me for years at a time. After 2 to 5 years, he finally tells me at my asking, after lying and gaslighting me on many occasions when I've asked throughout those years. I'm beyond angry, but not sure what to do. Let me stop there. Tyler, what do you think?
Well, I mean, this is probably, I mean, you can hear the frustration, the exasperation, and in some ways the helplessness, because, you know, and this is a very, very common question that we get in our practice, because it's how do we even build any kind of a relationship where there can't be at least straight honesty to begin with?
Right. So back to the question, can you set a boundary around your partner's lying? Just to dissect this a little bit, you don't have control over whether they're going to lie or not, right?
Right. And she acknowledges that in her question.
Yeah. So, I mean, this pattern of gaslighting and lying, and she doesn't have control over that with her partner. And so to go to him and say, you can't lie, that's my boundary, that's actually not a boundary, correct?
Well, that's right, because because you don't even know if it's being crossed half the time anyway, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And you don't have control over that.
Right. Like, you can't lie. That's my boundary. That's totally about him. That's not her boundary, right? So, but it puts her in a tough position here where she doesn't like the lying. She's feeling extremely angry. But she doesn't have control over whether he's going to lie or not. And I imagine she also doesn't want divorce and separation and all of those things. So she can't force him to not lie. She's angry that he is lying, but she doesn't want the divorce and the separation. So what does she do?
Yeah, it's a really good question. I hear inside of it, and I'm maybe just going to read a next part of her question to go along with it, because I think it'll tie in here. All right.
Okay.
So where you left off, this is her question still. It's like he evades any boundary I might have about porn use in our marriage by lying, and the lying is the bigger problem to me. When I feel he's lying, withholding the truth about his porn use, and what would an appropriate boundary be? So basically, the reason I include that is because you can hear that she's gone in and said, okay, I'm not okay with your porn use, and here's my boundaries. Like, she's obviously set some boundaries around, if you use porn, this is what I'm going to do. So his response to that boundary has been, well, then I just won't tell you about my porn use.
Right.
And now she's asking the question, well, what do I do about that then?
Right.
Go ahead.
I do want to highlight something right here, Tyler, because I want you to get back to what you're saying. His response is, then I just won't tell you about the porn use. So what he's choosing is, I'll avoid that discomfort with you in our relationship and that friction at the cost of bigger damage to our relationship. I'm going to choose that, the bigger damage versus the stuff right in front of my face that's scary to have to deal with. So just wanted to highlight that.
Right. But likely in this situation, and this is a common thing, he's not seeing it that way. He's avoiding consequence right now by not being honest.
That's all he's seeing.
And he doesn't see that he's eroding, that he's causing the bigger damage in the relationship. But in the long run, that's exactly what he's doing.
Right.
Because now, especially if she's going through this and she's bringing it up occasionally and he's saying, no, 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 no. And then 2-3 years later, something hits his heart or something, he gets caught or something. And then all of a sudden he's like, oh yeah, it's been happening for 3 years. In his mind, he's like, I avoided the consequence for, 3 years. I'll take my medicine now. And he doesn't realize what he's just gone and done has actually made the climb out of the pit even deeper when it comes to their relationship.
Right. And caused a bigger mess. And you can hear it in her question, just in her energy and the way she's asking this question. You can hear that pain and that destroyed trust. The foundation of the relationship is not in a good place.
Right. Yeah. Well, and that's, and so kind of back to the idea of boundaries is, can I set a boundary around dishonesty? I mean, that's the basic question she's asking. She set it around porn use. Can I set it around dishonesty? The answer is yes, as long as it follows what we talk about with all other sorts of boundaries, right? So I can't dictate to him that he'll be honest, but what I can do is I can set up my course and plan of action when I become aware that there's dishonesty going on in my relationship.
Yeah. Yeah. I can set my, so really, Tyler, what you're saying is, I hope people understand this when I say this, it's actually not even about his dishonesty. It's about her need for safety and trust in a relationship. That's her. That's who she is. And so she needs that safety and trust in order to want to be close to somebody. So when you don't have that safety and trust, I don't know if I want this close of a relationship with you because I'm being manipulated and lied to and all of those things, right? So what I'm trying to do is differentiate his behavior and whatever he's doing over there from her and who she is. And the anger that she's having, that anger's good. It's there to protect her. It's communicating something to her. about who she is, and that her values have been taken from her. She's given those up in the relationship, and he's in many ways asked her to give those up to support this whole dynamic. And the anger's building, saying, I'm not in alignment here with truth. This isn't working for me. This isn't working for me. And so she can focus back on him and say, you dirty, rotten scoundrel, stop lying. Stop doing this. Or she can turn back to her and say, what is this saying about me? Who am I? What do I need?
Yeah. Right. What are my values, right? And I like where you said, because in this case, and we're reading between the lines as always when we read questions instead of talk to somebody here, but I think we could safely say that at least those two values are tied to his honesty, right? So the lack of honesty on his part funnels down to her values of safety and trust in a relationship. And because the safety and the trust gets shaken when there's dishonesty, she now feels stuck. And so that anger you're talking about, Brandon, is more than it's doing more than just one thing. It's definitely identifying her values, right? It's saying, okay, something about who I am is not being treated fairly or properly. That anger is definitely there. It's also self-protective, but it's also doing something else too, that it sounds like is a really common thing, is that she's also feeling stuck. Like, she doesn't necessarily want to give up the relationship, and she feels like her arm is being twisted into decisions she doesn't want to have to make based on her values, because he's unwilling to play by the same value system.
I'm making assumptions here because we're not talking to her, but what you just said, I think, is interesting, because the lying is breaking trust, which is breaking a boundary for her. But the chronic nature of it, the ongoing pattern of 2 to 5 years again and again, I imagine there's other boundaries being broken. I want to be fought for. I want to be valued. I want our marriage to matter.
I want to be chosen.
I want to be chosen. And so when you say that you're getting honest and you cycle through this again and again and again, like, I'm tired. Not only am I angry, now I'm tired. And that tiredness is telling me something about me too. Right?
That's right. So all of those things, in fact, you know, going back to, in some ways, we always bring it back to grieving. Sometimes there's an active grieving process that seems to be going on here, where she's tired, she's exasperated, she's angry. She feels like her arm's being twisted in a certain direction that she doesn't even really want to go. She probably deeply cares for her husband, but she also is saying, I can't continue with things as they are.
Mm-hmm.
Something inside of her knows that. She knows that she's never going to be able to have what she really wants in a relationship if this particular thing with honesty doesn't get addressed.
Right, right. She knows that.
Yeah.
I was skiing yesterday, and there's a 15-foot zone that you have when you ski. You're supposed to keep it. And it doesn't really bother me that much if, you know, someone breaks my zone a little bit. It bothers me when somebody breaks my kids' zones, when my kids are down below me and then somebody's getting way too close to them. But what I realized, I was kind of thinking about this yesterday, when somebody goes within 15 feet of you while you're moving on the mountain, once you recognize that, you try to move away. You have respect and you move away and try not to run into each other. It's the same concept with boundaries. When somebody comes close to harming you, to hurting you, or they are hurting you, you need to have a buffer for some safety. And a lot of times, Tyler, I think with betrayal, and especially with sex, affairs, those type of things, it's really easy to, and I'm not minimizing these things at all in terms of the pain that they cause, But it's easy to turn and focus on the other person because it sure seems like that is their issue 100%. And the fact of the matter is, it's like that 15-foot zone. They're breaking in on that zone. And now you can turn to somebody in your zone and say, hey, don't run into me. But they still have the right and the ability to do whatever they want.
Yeah.
And so then you got to look at it and say, okay, where can I go? Like, do I stop here and wait for them to pass? Do I go right or left or wherever? But with betrayal, it's so strong toward them to need them to change in order to be okay because you're locked in these relationships. Think about it this way, Tyler. Let's say your wife didn't brush her teeth for a while, for years. Okay.
Okay.
If she doesn't brush her teeth, is that her breaking one of your boundaries?
I'm probably just not going to want to get too close to her to talk with her or kiss her or anything like that.
Yeah. So see that? Like it's kind of natural and automatic to say, like, it's pretty automatic. Like, now, you know, she's cheating on you. It's this like, oh my gosh, that's not okay. Neither is not brushing your teeth. But look at automatically what you did with that, Tyler. You're like, like kissing you. Like, I just can't. I just can't. Like, if you're not brushing your teeth, I can't. I'm sorry.
Yeah, but the cost is that I also won't have that level of intimacy either, which I do want.
Right. And if she hunkers in and she says, well, let's say she says, yeah, I'm going to, and she doesn't, but she smiles and she's like, I brushed, and you can smell it and you're like, nah, like it's still not working. Just because she's smiling and saying that she did, for you, your senses and what you're picking up on is saying, I can't. I still can't be too close to you here. Do you have the right to do that, even though she's saying, hey, get over it, I brushed?
Of course I do, but I'm also going to grieve the loss of what I thought I had and what I actually want and feel stuck because then I'm going to feel petty if I leave her over her not brushing her teeth and all of those other things that a betrayed spouse goes through too. Like, are you actually really going to leave him because he looked at porn once in a while? Are you actually going to like do this or that or the other thing? You know, or Brandon, I'm using your analogy back to the ski slopes. Let's say you're on the ski mountain and you're on your favorite run, the best chairlift, the best run. And you have this person that keeps infringing on your kid's space and maybe even knocks one of your kids over.
Mm-hmm.
The natural tendency, I think you're right, is that you'd have to ask yourself, am I going to be effective? And can I just go to a different run, even though I feel cheated because this is the best run and this is the one my kids like the best? Like, I could distance myself from this jerk that keeps infringing on my kids' space. And maybe that's the most effective thing to do. Sometimes it might be more effective to actually get to the bottom of the run and go get in that person's face and say, hey, you need to knock it off and play by the rules.
Right. And right. If they say, screw you, I'm not going to.
Yeah. Then you can still choose to distance yourself, or you can get on the next run and go knock them over, or you could just punch them in the face. Like, you could do, there's a lot of things you could do.
But Tyler, I got to look at my own integrity and my own truths. Right.
Right.
And that's what
I was trying to get to, Brandon, is in all those situations, as long as it's within your value system, that's the part you have to focus on is that your response is, how am I going to be most effective for my situation and maintain my values and be congruent with who I want to be, regardless of what the other person is doing?
The thing that sucks about that, Tyler, is many, many good divorces came from somebody living their truths, right? Like we say, really good boundaries destroy toxic relationships. And that's the rock in the hard place, especially in marriage, with kids, with everything, is when you have like what she's describing, it'd be one thing if it's like, hey, can I set a boundary around lying? My husband lied to me about using porn once. Versus it keeps happening again and again and again. 2 to 5 years, he gaslights. We go through these long cycles of lying and lying and lying and lying. And, you know, when we talk about good boundaries destroy toxic relationships, he's showing up, at least according to how she's describing it here, he's showing up as a partner who has unhealthy attachment and is creating a toxic relationship. She can either keep doing that dance with him, or it will lead her to push away. Now, back to your analogy about you could punch him in the face, you could get in his face, you could do it. Sure. But in her truth, to show up as a compassionate, loving person for herself and for others, what would be the best course of action? And that's what she needs to ask herself. And acting in that truth, there might be some consequences that are really, really hard.
Yeah, that again, and this is where people get tripped up, is that don't seem fair. That maybe, maybe in this particular situation, if I'm married to this guy, the way that it's being described, of course, we're trying to be fair, but we don't know. But the way that it's being described, if I'm married to this guy, the best thing that I could probably do is go to him and say, you know what? Your dishonesty doesn't work for me. It infringes too much on the ability to build trust and intimacy and safety. I want to be chosen in a relationship. I want to be with somebody who's strong enough to be honest. And as a result of that, you know, I think I'm done. Like, now I'm the one that has to take the blame for making the choice to get divorced. I'm the one that has to be seen as petty. I'm the one that, even though I was the one that was betrayed the whole time, there doesn't feel like there's any justice served. All of that is also true. Like, that's where you get stuck. I'm losing a relationship that I've invested at this point, maybe 10 or 15 years, because it only happens every 2.5 years. Like, I've got a ton of sunken cost here. I have to take on all of that consequence when none of it was my fault.
You know, and to take kind of a, take this out way, way far here, you know who was hated for acting in truth? Jesus. Abraham Lincoln had a lot of haters. People hated his guts. And in, you know, if you were to put yourself in the time of Jesus or Abraham Lincoln or people like that, I think it's easy now to look back and say, good for them. They did the right thing even when it was hard. And they both fought for freedom in different ways. And freedom of their own and well, freedom for people's souls, right? Like, so it's the same principle. It's the same concept. Yes, I might divorce you, and the world around me, everybody might think you're horrible for doing that. But if you feel peace and you're acting in truth because you're protecting yourself, you're listening to that anger that's coming in, and you're saying, what does this mean about me? Who am I? In the thick of it, it might not feel like freedom, but you're working toward that.
Right. And it's hard to keep that perspective when you're in so much pain and you're also grieving the loss of something too. So you're feeling the you're getting the consequences that don't feel deserved. You're feeling the pain of the grief of something lost, and you still have to have the energy to act in courage, because it takes courage to hold those boundaries.
Right.
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 Now we're talking about all the way to the very end of this, which is divorce and letting go of the relationship. I don't know if that's where, you know, Elizabeth needs to go, like, right off the bat, but she can start to set some boundaries around things that would be the natural sort of 15-meter zone you're talking about too. She can go to her husband. Yeah, go ahead.
Tyler, we have to start with the divorce conversation, because that does need to be an option. And it's not to hold it over his head. It's not to use it, but to know that, hey, I'm willing to actually do what I need to in order to live in these truths.
It's a matter of what you're saying, Brandon, is that I have to, number one, I have to identify the values that are actually being infringed upon. And then I have to ask myself the question, to what lengths am I willing to go to protect this particular value? Right. Yeah. And if I follow it all the way down, and it's these kind of like deal breaker kinds of values, honesty, trust, being chosen, whatever else it is, then naturally, if I follow it all the way along, would I give this up? Would I give this up? Would I give this up? Would I give this up in order to maintain this value? Eventually, it gets to that spot where some things will say, yeah, I would need to get divorced if this wasn't part of my relationship long term, or at least being worked on, right?
Yeah.
Once I settle on that, and I know that I'm convicted of that inside of myself, that I know that that's true for me, this is what's crazy, is it actually gives me power to help facilitate change in the relationship, because I'm willing to go to the lengths that I need to protect the value. And by doing that, I'm inviting the people around me to step into the same values or get out.
There's the paradox of it right there.
Yeah. Her husband is deathly afraid of losing her. That's why he's lying to her for 2 to 5 years at a time.
Right. But if I'm showing up desperate and weak, then I'm going to sacrifice my values and my boundaries in order to try to be loved, which is opposite. And I myself am actually undermining a healthy relationship when I show up that way. The paradox is, like, when I'm willing to walk away, when I'm willing to get divorced, when I'm willing so far to stand up for me and my truths and my values and what they are, I'm actually more likely to stay married. Maybe. But I am able to create healthy relationships.
I'm inviting healthy relationships because I'm basing it off of true principles.
Right. Right.
And I am willing to go to those lengths to protect those principles, even if it means sadness and grief and unfairness and loss. At the end of the day, my life is still better holding on to those values than sacrificing them.
Yep. Yep. You take someone like her in this question. I look at that and she's, you know, she's probably thinking, well, you know, I'm listening to these guys. I'm going to have to wait until there's another lie until I catch him in another lie before I do anything. And the truth is her gut and her intuition is already alerting her that something's not okay for her.
Yeah.
So again, let's not make it about him. You're already there. You're already feeling something. So now we got to look at, what's your next step to get in alignment with your truth? And what discomfort do you have to face in order to step into that? What support do you need in order to step into that? It might not be writing up the divorce papers, but maybe it's moving down to the basement for a week, for two, for however long. I'm just coming up with examples. I need space, right? Just sure. Like my brush your teeth analogy, like, you need that space. You're feeling that this isn't working for you.
I'm going to try to maintain my 15-foot zone. And it's interesting because the end of her question that we didn't read is addressing this last part, Brandon. She says, I'm almost positive he's lying about it and withholding it currently. I feel angry about those past years of being lied to, but I'd like to do something different than just be angry. What can I do? So
yeah.
So she doesn't have to wait for there to be another disclosure 2 to 5 years from now. She knows it. I'm almost positive he's lying about it, withholding it currently. She's done the game enough. She's done the dance enough. She could go and just say to him, in essence, whatever is her version of this, you know what? I'm not going to wait for the next 2 to 5 years. I know there's something wrong. I know there's something not quite right or honest on the up and up here. There hasn't been a real full commitment towards proactive honesty in our relationship anyway. And as a result, this is kind of the space I'm going to be in for the time being, whether that's physical or emotional. I'm going to keep my 15 feet, and I might be even moving out to 20 or 30 feet here.
Yeah.
Let me know what you decide to do with honesty.
And Tyler, let's say he's bumping along thinking, I've had a good couple months. Like, I don't know what she's talking about. Here's the deal. Like, maybe he hasn't been acting out, but if he has broken trust for years the way that he has, and if he's not actively working his actual recovery, then she absolutely has a right to be feeling the way that she's feeling.
Yes.
And And if your answer to her is, I haven't acted out, what are you talking about? You're crazy. That's actually gaslighting her back again.
Yes.
Versus looking at yourself and saying, okay, the one thing I have done is maybe I've maintained some sobriety, but man, like I haven't empathized with your pain. I haven't worked on myself. I don't know who I actually am as a man.
Yeah.
I can totally see why I'm an unsafe partner right now.
Yes, he needs to own all of that instead of like defending his supposed honor about whatever limited sobriety he has.
And throwing it back in her face.
And being like, yeah, like, hey, I'm not lying about it. Well, what else you haven't done in the last 2 to 5 years, maybe 4 times in the last decade only, is be proactive about your honesty.
Yeah.
So why don't you actually adopt a lifestyle of proactive honesty, living a transparent and complete wholehearted life rather than bumping along the bottom, hoping she doesn't find out about the next thing.
I feel like I just triggered you.
You totally did.
have we seen this once or twice?
Was that on purpose, Brandon? Did you trigger me? Because I'm getting all fired up now. Like I'm calling out all of these men that live this way. Like, don't you sit and want to fight with her about how long you've been sober for because you're being honest now? No, you haven't been honest until you've been proactive, until you take a look at yourself in the mirror and you make a decision of your own character that you're going to live a proactively honest life. And if you do that, you will be inviting trust back into your marriage. And if you wait for that, then you're going to bump along the bottom and she's going to feel things are off, even if you're being like sober, and she will be right.
But
you're still withholding.
But a lot of times they don't even understand honesty. Honesty is not self-disclosure, tattletale on myself. Be a good boy. My wife is my God. And I better make sure that honesty is knowing yourself so well and loving yourself so well that you can be authentic. You can be open and you can be you with her. And that's real honesty. And so you can see, when I say that, you can see the work that it takes,
yeah,
the strength that it takes to actually resonate in that space, a peace within yourself, to show up honest in that relationship.
And that's why it's so hard to be honest in a relationship. If I already, as default, feel like I'm unlovable and that she'd leave me if she saw how unlovable I am, the default setting is the dishonesty. It's a self-protective measure, but it's eroding any possibility of what you actually want, which is a deep connected relationship.
Yep. Yep. And that's one of the tricky things is these guys who think they're working their recovery through trying to get sober and then tattletaling on their wives, themselves to their wives. Like that's the tricky part, because we're talking about a person who can actually establish and build trust in a relationship. And so when you're showing up 2 to 5 years at a time and getting caught and then admitting things, that's not getting honest.
That's right.
That has nothing to do with honesty.
That's right. So and I know we're getting...
She has a right for her 15 to 20 foot zone.
Yeah. And it makes sense. And if you can understand that and show empathy and compassion and patience, you will, by nature of showing those things and practicing those things, you'll actually be speaking the words of trust and safety in the long run.
Yeah. Healing is real, like individually and in a relationship. Tyler and I have seen it many, many times. As we talk about these things in a quick, 45 minute talk here on a podcast, we can't do it justice. Like, we want to just yell at you guys. We want to just yell at you to get honest, to get authentic, to like,
I just did,
rebuild trust. Yeah. Like, come on, because we know it's there. I don't care the amount of trauma that you've had. I don't care if your addiction was so intense that every day you were getting a hit. Like, we know that you can stop. You can connect to God's self and others. You can know yourself again, and you can fight for your wife, and you can create trust and safety again. It is possible.
Yeah. Amen, Brandon. Yeah. I know we're out of time today. Elizabeth, thank you for your question. Anyone who's listening to this and have your own questions, or you want to come on the show, go to therapybros.com, and you can either submit a question in writing or you can sign up to come on the show. We'd love to have guests, but we appreciate your willingness to ask, Elizabeth. And for those of you listening, hopefully there's some benefit to this and it was helpful to you in some ways. And if it rang a bell for someone, please feel free to share it.
And until next time,
keep on keeping on.